During the past week, our readings have found us in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah and in the New Testament letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, which, as always, are filled with lessons, instruction, guidance, and help for us. There are themes and topics that can be developed and have been developed over the years. This morning, I would like us to consider together for a few moments a theme, an aspect that is to be found in both books, but it's one that's not normally talked about in this way. It's not one that we hear a lot about, and that is the theme, the aspect of encouragement. I believe that we do well to have a look at this topic, this aspect. For in the times that we are living in, the times that we are moving into, brethren and sisters, we're in the 11th hour. And I believe we're at 5 minutes to midnight. And there is a need, a great need for encouragement in the body of Christ. As brothers and sisters, young people, strive to run the race that leads to eternal life in God's coming kingdom. As we all experience trials, challenges, temptations, weaknesses, as well as the blessings from above, because there is an onslaught that's going on out there and we have a warfare to take up. So it is that I want us to be aware of just how important the matter of encouragement is in the life of any person, but particularly for us this morning, in the life of a disciple of Christ. Encouragement is a building factor. It's a supportive factor. It's a strengthening factor in a person's life. On the other hand, discouragement is something that pulls down, it weakens, it destroys. Discouragement is quite often the result of ongoing criticism or negativism. And so briefly, just a few facts about encouragement. Encouragement, brothers and sisters, is an act of love. It's an act of love on the part of the person who does the encouraging. It's an act of giving. That agape giving of ourselves to assist someone else that's journeying with us to God's coming kingdom. It involves the two parties, the one who gives the encouragement and the one who receives it. And brothers and sisters, both experience a love, an agape love that is involved, and that's a beautiful and good thing. Encouragement. There are two ways in which encouragement is given. It's given through the means of communication, either by the spoken or written word. And it's also given by example in action. Encouragement. By communication, spoken or written word, and by example in action. Of course, conversely, discouragement can come from the negative aspect of both those factors. It requires, dear ones, a developed character. It develops maturity to be one who is involved in encouragement. Conversely, it requires very little to be one who discourages. Doesn't take much at all to be one who can discourage. But to provide encouragement, we need to be mature, we need to be developed, and we need to be thinking of anything but ourselves. A brother or sister who understands and practices the biblical principles of love will be one who reaches out with encouragement in all of its facets. A brother or sister who is filled with self will not be able to be involved in encouragement because all they've got in mind is me, myself, and I. true, spoken or written encouragement, to be of value, must be truthful and genuine. Truthful and genuine. This business of telling someone that they're doing a great job with all of that kind of flattery, all of that type of buttery stuff, when it is in fact not really the truth, is no form of encouragement at all. In fact, the end result can be quite the opposite. So we want to be very careful and truthful about words of encouragement, but when we can, we need to be about the business of offering encouragement. And encouragement will of necessity at times require chastisement, discipline, and criticism, given in a right spirit and in a right manner. Because that's often how we encourage. We have to remind ourselves that we're straying a little from the way, or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, when we're dutiful about the matters of discipline, and we talked about this at length in a Bible class recently, that is one of the most positive aspects of encouragement. To pull someone out of the fire, as Jude refers to it as. Now, I want you to ask yourself, just this past week, or maybe the past month, but just this past week, what encouragement did you give to someone else? Be honest with yourself. Did you reach out with word of encouragement or your actions of encouragement just this past week since we last met? Were you involved in any type of discouragement? Be honest as we sit here and think about these things. And under the heading of discouragement, also we can include failing to encourage when we could have. That's that little scene of when we could have gone up to a young brother and thanked him for his Bible class, but we just went merrily on our way and didn't bother to encourage. That's indirectly a form of discouragement, because that young brother needs all the encouragement he can get, just like we all do. Ask yourself, did you receive this past week some type of encouragement from someone in your life? Did you? How did it feel? What did it do for you? Did it pick you up? Did it lift you up? Had you reached a point where you're thinking, oh, I don't think I'm so good, whatever the case may be? In just a few words, how did it feel? I know how it would feel for me, and does feel for me. It helps us to carry on. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, would you open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah? We're going to look in both Nehemiah and Timothy, just briefly, as we consider this aspect of encouragement. The theme of the book of Nehemiah, let us rise up and build. It's a book filled with lessons and messages and themes. The divine account records for us how a man of faith and prayer, the man Nehemiah, is instrumental in undertaking a major work of repairing and rebuilding in the face of a number of trials, including outright opposition. Nehemiah is involved in a leadership role that results in a strong workforce combining together, joining together, and undertaking this great work, which had reached a point where no one was willing to take it on. It's one of the little points that we notice, that of all the people that were there in Jerusalem, no one had the courage to get up and get this work underway until Nehemiah came along. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. I think there's something like 12 prayers recorded in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of faith. Nehemiah was a man of courage. He was a strong spiritual man. Brothers and sisters, Nehemiah was a great man of encouragement. And I believe that that character trait in the man Nehemiah had much to do with what was accomplished with those who worked with him. Chapter 2 of the reading that we had read for us this morning. The state has been described as a reproach. It's an ugly scene, brothers and sisters. The walls all broken down, the gates burned and missing. It's just something that's too awesome to contemplate. But what happens? In verse 17 and 18, Nehemiah arrives on the scene. He's been about the business of surveying the overall situation. And then he says unto the group of people, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And that's often where things can stop in the life and the truth. You see all these problems we've got. Boy, things are tough, and maybe there are problems. And there are problems and difficulties. But what did Nehemiah say? Come, he says, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. What words of encouragement. Lifting up, building up, encouraging them to get on with the work. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. He goes back and he reveals where things had come from when he first started this program. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Yes, there was faith. Yes, there was prayer. But brothers and sisters, there was encouragement from this man of faith and conviction. And that's the power that encouragement can have when it's properly delivered. This man had left the cushy position of king's cupbearer to come and to deal with this sad dilemma, this reproach that the nation was in. That in itself was an act of encouragement, that this man could leave all of the good life and come over to Jerusalem and become involved in the rebuilding program. And so he gathers the rulers, the priests, the nobles, the workers together, and he encourages them to rise up and build. And that's their response. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, there were difficulties as they got underway. This wasn't a case of just mobilizing a workforce and suddenly everything starts to happen and everyone's joyful and glad about it. Life doesn't work that way, and neither does life and the truth work that way. There are going to be the difficulties and the trials and the oppositions. Verse 4 of chapter 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. We all know what it can feel like when we're trying to undertake something and there's the nitpicking and there's the finding fault and there's the inability to get behind things. Does that bother Nehemiah? So built we the wall, verse 6. All the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Brothers and sisters, Nehemiah was at the helm. He was encouraging him daily. And there's the response. The people had a mind to work. Verse 8, a little conspiracy going on to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Opposition's a regular part of life. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And more than just praying, they became active. They set a watch against them day and night. And then Nehemiah, verses 13 and 14, these are beautiful passages. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall. And on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Encouragement. In the face of what would seem to be difficult circumstances at the very least. Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. This man is providing the impetus and the encouragement to carry on and to go on. That hadn't happened until Nehemiah's arrival on the scene, brothers and sisters. It's something to bear in mind. There were a lot of good, capable people in Jerusalem, but it was Nehemiah who came and had the encouragement and the courage and the faith to get this project underway with God's blessing. And so we find that the work continues, and Nehemiah responds with this type of encouragement. In verse 20, over in the same chapter, he says, "In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us." In other words, gather together, join together, for our God shall fight for us. Often, that's something we overlook, isn't it? But the point being, as we come to chapter 6 and verse 15, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. The insurmountable project was complete, insofar as that end of it went. Thanks to a man of encouragement and leadership. Come now to Nehemiah chapter 8, because this man is not only just a man that's involved in the physical aspect of things when it comes to encouragement and strength. Oh no, there's a lot more to Nehemiah than that. When he left Babylon, realizing the reproach that the nation was in, it wasn't just because the walls were down and the gates were burned. It was something far deeper by way of problem that brought the reproach. Nehemiah is involved in the spiritual encouragement to the people. Chapter 8, which we do not have time to spend much time in at all, but you talk about a regeneration. You talk about rising up and building and restoring. Ezra and Nehemiah worked together to bring the book of the law of Moses in verse 1. And they bring this book before the congregation. They're going to reactivate the spiritual life of this nation. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Verse 7, they caused the people to understand the law. So they read in verse 8 in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, as a result of that, there was a lot of concern amongst the people, because they began to realize they stood in great need. But Nehemiah comes again in such beautiful encouragement, verses 9 and 10. Instead of saying yes, which has to be said from time to time, "You've strayed and you've done wrong. We need to get back to the Lord." But listen to this. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were feeling pretty discouraged. But this man of encouragement says, look, don't mourn, don't weep in the sense of how terrible everything is, but rather pick up your spirits and be encouraged. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's a man with a developed character. That's a brother with the spirit of encouragement to help those that are feeling very bad about their situation. They're feeling down and discouraged. And so Nehemiah's involved in spiritual encouragement. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters. And as we come to the chapter which we'll read tomorrow, God willing, chapter 13, there's another aspect to Nehemiah's encouragement. But I want it to be understood that Nehemiah is concerned for the spiritual welfare of his brothers and sisters. There were things that were very wrong in their midst, and he was very forthright in confronting them about those things that were wrong. But he did so, even though he contended with them. We need to realize these things, brothers and sisters, that sometimes when there is a contending, it's because of a love for the salvation of those involved. Nehemiah was concerned about the things that if they were to continue in that way, they would continue to be an eternal reproach. And he says, look, we've got to put these things from us. And so he's there to spiritually encourage them, to stop the harmful, the wrong practices that, if continued in, would eventually lead to their eternal destruction. So this type of encouragement involved a discipline and a chastisement in order to bring men and women back to their God and His laws for their own benefit, for their own salvation. Brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to consider the man Nehemiah. It's beautiful, this man of encouragement. Now we go to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1. These are letters of instruction and guidance from the elder Apostle Paul to the younger brother Timothy, who had a great work cut out for him by way of ecclesial duties and responsibilities. Timothy was young in age and young in the truth. But the Apostle Paul was a mature, well-developed brother. And while he was sending the instruction to Timothy as to how to organize and carry out the duties and responsibilities of a lightstand in the first century, Paul was aware of something else. Paul was a sensitive man. He knew that Timothy was concerned. He would feel it was almost too much for him to undertake all of these things. Verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. This beautiful relationship encourages Timothy right as he opens the letter. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. There's that beautiful personal relationship. And you can imagine how Timothy felt when he opened his letter. My son in the faith. What words of encouragement. And so, we go down to verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. It's serious business that he had to be about. It was no playtime, no party. It was serious stuff that had to be involved. But he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience. He says, look, Timothy, you've got a work to do, but be encouraged. You've got to war a good warfare. Rise up and meet the challenge. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Hold your faith and hold your conscience. As we come over to chapter 4, we have that well-known passage beginning at verse 12. You talk about words of encouragement. Brother Paul says to Brother Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you're young. He said, don't let anybody despise you. But be thou an example of the believers. You've got to show leadership, Timothy. You've got to rise up and set the example. Set the example in word, in conversation or way of life, in charity, in spirit and faith in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He was encouraging Timothy for the work that he had to undertake in this lightstand in Ephesus. Meditate upon these things. Verse 15, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He says, this is not in vain, this work, Timothy. He said, we've got people that are going to benefit from this, but you've got to get out there and do it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Don't give up. Don't feel weak. Don't be discouraged. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The power of encouragement. Chapter 6, verse 11. Listen to these words. He says, but thou, O man of God. That was the status that the Apostle Paul attributed to this young brother. O man of God. That would encourage Timothy. Flee these things. He says, put these things away from you that are going to be a hindrance. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He said, Timothy, you've already been involved in this kind of witnessing. Continue on. Don't be discouraged. Carry on. He said, you've already been doing it. And then in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, brethren and sisters. 2 Timothy chapter 1, those verses 5 through 8. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's building him up and he's encouraging him about Timothy's own faith. He makes reference to where that has come from. And he says, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. That's an act of confidence of the Apostle Paul in this young brother. He said, I've got the confidence that this faith is in you. And then he goes on to say, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. He said, you've got to be strong. You've got to be encouraged. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Timothy would just be buoyed up and encouraged reading those kind of words. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son. There's that term of endearment again. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, be strong. Don't be discouraged. Rise up and meet the challenges. Thou therefore, in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Brethren and sisters, we can just enter into this. The spirit of encouragement as a result of a faithful brother giving the words of encouragement. I'd like us now to spend the remainder of our time just talking about a few aspects of encouragement within our ecclesia. Encouragement again, that which builds, that which directs, that which strengthens, that which lifts up and cheers, that which comforts, that which brings back to the straight and narrow way. Do you know that it costs nothing to give encouragement? It costs nothing to give encouragement. And we all need it. We all need it, brothers and sisters. And we all need to be active in encouraging our brethren and sisters, our young people, our Sunday school children, and each and every member of this light stand, this body of Christ. We know, for example, how vital it is to give a child constant encouragement. Not the false praise, not the buttery stuff, not telling him he's great when he's anything but great, but the truthful, genuine encouragement when it's applicable. Sometimes it might be a little hard to find that at times, but when you see the opportunity, you're there as a parent or as a grandparent, encouraging that child to keep on. Maybe it's learning to ride a bicycle. Maybe it's doing their homework. Any one of a whole wide range of life activities. We know how critical it is to bring encouragement to our children. Within a family, there needs to be the encouragement from a spouse to a spouse. Encouragement in such things as to do the daily Bible readings. The encouragement to get out to the meetings. After all, it's the work of the truth carrying on in this place. The encouragement to commit to ecclesial duties. There is much work to be done in God's ecclesia. And so, spouses encourage one another. And we're appreciative and thankful for the act of encouragement by word and by action in those areas. Over the years, mention has been made of the example and thus the encouragement that comes to us by the elderly in our midst. Those that get out all the time, unless they're absolutely sick. Brothers and sisters, we're thankful for that type of encouragement. They're to be commended for their faithfulness. We have our brethren who encourage us with words of exhortation. The Bible class talks, the gospel proclamation presentations, building our faith, giving us comfort, encouraging us in our walk Zionward, correcting us where necessary. Yes, that's part of it too. And we thank each and every brother for their valuable contribution to the body of Christ. There is within this ecclesia, brothers and sisters, yet another group. Another group of individuals. They are brethren and they are sisters. And I wish to draw our attention to this group this morning. Over the years, it has been quite common practice to remember and refer to the family aspect in everything. The family aspect in comments where commendation and encouragement is being given. Recently, I did it myself from this platform, encouraging the head of the family to gather the family around for Bible readings, stressing the importance of husband and wife sharing in its responsibility, which of itself is quite right and quite proper and quite correct. But brothers and sisters, I had cause to reflect upon my own words and the words of many other brethren who speak in terms of the family. And I began to realize that we are involved in an almost complete oversight of a group, a growing group within this ecclesia, who form a very significant portion of our numbers. I'm going to refer to them as the single person. That doesn't mean marital status. When I say single person, I mean those who live by themselves. Those who have no spouse or family living with them. The single brother, the single sister. Just for your information, there are some 24 married couples in the truth in this ecclesia. That compares to some 36, 9 years ago, married couples in the truth. There are at the present time 8 members living with spouses not in the truth. There are 8 members living in a family situation, that is, somebody living with a family. And there are some 30 members, single members, those who live by themselves, that comprise a major section of this ecclesia. I want us to just reflect upon that fact and upon this group and the group who live with spouses not in the truth. Remembering our theme is encouragement. We said earlier that everyone needs encouragement. 30 individuals who live by themselves and 8 who live with spouses not in the truth. A major segment of this ecclesia. Brothers and sisters, who encourages them to do the readings? Who encourages them to get out to the lecture or out to the Bible class? Who encourages them to commit to ecclesial duties? Who encourages these single members when they're not feeling well? When they've got the problems and the trials of life? Maybe they've just lost a job or the job's not going well. They have family issues to contend with, and there's outright loneliness. Who can they talk to about their concerns? They live alone. See, we've been used to the emphasis on the family. The brothers and sisters, they live alone. The answer is, it's us. We the ecclesia, their family in Christ, are the ones that they need and look to for encouragement. It's fine for the brother who has a wife that says, come on, keep going, do this and do that, or vice versa. But they look to the ecclesia, the corporate body of Christ, for their encouragement. Oh, they're given to self-encouragement. There's no question about that. Brothers and sisters, we especially need to remember our single brothers and our single sisters, our members, with partners not in the truth, they need our encouragement in these challenging times. Life is so busy, and we can be busy with our agendas. But some 38 individuals in this ecclesia live by themselves. We've got a responsibility to reach out, to invite them to our homes, to invite them for a meal. Perhaps it's an outing that we could share together, chatting with them on the telephone. Not just our families. Oh, there's lots of interaction between those of us that have families and the grandchildren and all the rest of it. We're talking about those who live by themselves. And while there's always a little extra consideration in this coming time of the year, and that's commendable, but brothers and sisters, we're talking about all year long. Sister Pat Williamson drew our attention to this in a newsletter some time ago. And we're renewing our thoughts about these things again. And there are those in our midst who do these acts of encouragement. But I want us to leave this morning realizing that we can all be Paul's or Nehemiah's. We have a duty to reach out in this act of encouragement to this particular group. Those who live completely by themselves or those who share life with a partner not in the truth. And we wish to commend those out of these two groups who on a regular basis encourage this ecclesia with their presence at our meetings. Who do you think is sitting down the row next to you? There's 38 of them in this ecclesia that live by themselves. 30 that live by themselves and 8 as I've said. And I want to thank them for their attitude and their spirit, those that regularly attend this meeting and support it. Sunday nights, Thursday nights, business meetings, and of course, above all, at the memorial service. They encourage us with their presence. They don't have anyone on Sunday morning to encourage them to get up and get out or to do a whole host of things, but they're here. That's self-encouragement. And thank you for it, brother and sister. You are extremely important in your acts of service in this house of God. We need you and we thank you each time you contribute to the work of the truth in this ecclesia. In its ministry, and we encourage you to continue in your role because you are an integral part of us. And thank you for what you do to assist this ecclesia in carrying on with our mandate to witness and to testify for the truth in whatever areas that may be. So this morning, brothers and sisters, we have just a slightly different aspect of family life. And I want us to be thinking about it, not just in the upcoming season, but throughout the entire year. A single brother, a single sister that needs us for encouragement because they're giving us their encouragement. So we now come to the emblems, the greatest example of all of encouragement, but just two quick quotes. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's the supreme example. And he never lets us down. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The spirit of encouragement, the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, both then and now. As we partake of these emblems, may we be given to following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in just Sunday morning worship, but in the spirit of encouragement.